Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a long-awaited episode of Lower Education. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Rob Thompson, and I think we're just happy to be back.
Very happy to be back. I'm sure a lot of you thought we were just dead or we'd given up. And maybe for some of the listeners, you could have wanted that. But here we are after, we'll call it a summer break. I think we've already done that before. But yeah, we're back. We're ready to roll. And we're ready to learn you a little something.
Yeah, I think this is the true summer break, though, because I think previously when we've done a summer break, we've actually had things going on.
Yeah.
I think this time I was just incredibly lazy and didn't want
to
do it.
It was a heavy dose of laziness on both of our parts. But
yes.
I feel like some history has been made in the time between the last episode, and I don't say that as if I have something off the top of my head, but I'm sure historical things have happened, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Have we missed anything that you could qualify as historical in, let's say, the 2 months between released episodes?
I think probably the most recent thing that happened, that definitely could probably be a whole episode of this, is Nancy Reagan's head game. Everyone on Twitter was talking about how Nancy Reagan was apparently the throat goat back on the MGM lot.
Okay. All right. So pause there. I have tried to be a better human, whatever. That sounds stupid. But I've basically realized that I'm very unproductive in my workday when I have social media. So I have actually deleted a lot of social media, or all of it. But I will probably have to re-download to promote this podcast again. But I say all that to ask, was there historical evidence? How did this get started, the Nancy Reagan head thing?
So apparently there was one lady who wrote a memoir where she said Nancy Reagan was just like very popular for fellatio on the MGM lot. And a couple people were like, oh, this person is like, they lie a lot and they're not a great resource. But apparently in like a few Hollywood memoirs, people have corroborated it, like guys included and whatnot.
You Nancy Reagan, you. Well, alrighty then. I hate that I was not a part of that when it was happening, but good to know now.
It was one of the better days on the internet. And one of my favorite things is, There's one thing on Twitter, and that every day there's a main character on Twitter, and the goal is just not to be the main character that day. Nancy Reagan was without a doubt the main character on Saturday.
Yeah, and I feel like with a lot of the main characters in that sense, it's usually pretty divisive, but I feel like just her being the main character and just generating just an overall curiosity among all Twitter users, I feel like everyone could have come together and just ask each other the question, did Nancy Reagan give it like that?
Oh, yeah. That there needs to be an investigation done. And who knows? Maybe one day we will conduct an investigation.
Oh, God. Well, of that, while you were explaining the Nancy Reagan dilemma or non-dilemma, I remembered that our beloved Braves are now World Series champions. So
true.
Claps
very,
for
very
them.
High.
That's curse history. Has been lifted. My first real sports title. Happy for Atlanta United winning the MLS Cup a couple years ago, but I have not watched a full game of theirs outside of that one championship game. So I'm not going to call myself a fan. I'm not going to hitch myself to that bandwagon. I guess if I have to choose a team, it's them. In terms of soccer, but the Braves, that is real. That is my childhood. Love the team. Great story. Too bad it's not funny, or so we can't really touch on it in an episode. But yeah, go Braves, and history was made.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it's so wild how I really can't think of any major cultural events happening other than just like celebrities dying, which really isn't that important. So, I don't know. I might have to take the cop out on this one and just be
what about I hear it from my girlfriend, are Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian still a thing?
I don't know. So Pete Davidson and Miley Cyrus appeared on Kimmel, and apparently afterwards, Miley Cyrus was seen going to Davidson's house.
Wow.
The man just stays winning.
I mean, I get it, and I don't get it at the same time. I always kind of thought that the Kim Kardashian thing was kind of a publicity thing, but Miley too. I mean, dude's living the life for a guy who I'm just going to say is, you know, objectively not that attractive, but pays to be funny.
I mean, it's that one tweet perfectly summed up where it's like, nice 400-pound deadlift, bro. She let me hit because I'm goofy. Like, that's literally it.
Seriously, yeah.
Someone who I think in terms of my like my ability to flirt with girls and talk to women, humor is probably the biggest trick I have up my sleeve.
Oh God, let's not call it tricks.
I think it plays, and I think I could see how it works out for him. Not saying that any of those women would ever somewhat look at me, but I've definitely had success being funny, so I think there's a precedent for it.
Oh yeah, no. The logic fully checks out. And you know, history repeats itself. Miley and Kim aren't the first ones, the first beautiful women to get with Pete. So he's just he's got it going on. Probably he's got a piece on him too. But
what if he's actually just a really nice guy? Like he's just a really good guy. I also saw a thing that it's like, no one probably ever shoots their like actual shot with these girls. Like I'm sure they get DMs and whatnot all the time, but like how often does a guy actually come up to them and be like, hey, do you want to grab drinks sometime or something? Like maybe he's just bold enough to do that and they're so shocked by it that it works.
Does Pete Davidson possess what we have called the main theme of this podcast and the people that we talk about?
I think he does.
Does Pete Davidson just have a conviction about himself like many before him?
I mean, maybe Pete's a listener. That's a possible answer as well. Pete, he heard about Tim Dexter.
Exactly. Pete, thank you. We appreciate your support. But yeah, let's move on to the actual subject material. I feel like we just had to touch on that because, you know, history teachers always ask, like, what happened this week and what stood out to you? So I feel like I'd take my turn at that, but we can get into the actual subject material now.
Yeah. So this is a topic that, although I've said this before and it hasn't come true, I feel very confident you are going to have some semblance of an idea about. And the topic today is an individual known as Chris Gaines. Does that ring any bells?
So Chris Gaines is a lead singer.
He's a singer.
Okay, just a singer. So you'll probably say some of his songs that I recognize, but weirdly enough, and I know you know this guy, the only exposure, real exposure outside of maybe the songs that I don't know are his, is the Twitter account Trill Ballins. You know Trill Ballins, right?
Yeah, the now defunct Twitter account. He doesn't tweet anymore. But
exactly.
It's Chris Gaines fan account.
Yes, it was Chris Gaines fan account. He used to be Cowboys fans for Hillary and lost like 5,000 followers. It was absolutely incredible. He always had the stunt double of Jim Carrey's The Mask as his
truly
profile
a wonderful
picture.
Account.
But yeah, so now his. In his way of trolling, his Twitter account is now named Chris Gaines fan account.
So the reason I thought you would know a lot more about Chris Gaines is because Chris Gaines is not a real person. He is actually an alter ego of one of the most famous country musicians of all time. That country musician.
Oh. Is it Garth?
It's Garth Brooks.
Okay. I never put those two together, but as soon as you said that, it's Garth Brooks. Wait, so you're going to get into this, I know, but now I just already have questions. Is Garth Brooks' real name Chris Gaines?
No.
But Chris Gaines, so Garth presents himself as Chris Gaines? Well, just, I'll just let you go.
Yes. So Chris Gaines is a completely fictitious character that Garth Brooks came up with because he decided he just wanted to do something different. And something I think we should preface with is that Garth Brooks is just kind of a weird guy in general. Like, have you ever seen any interviews with Garth Brooks?
Yes. I don't like them. And let me just start by saying I am a huge Garth Brooks music fan. He makes some of the greatest country music I've ever heard. But it is, I avoid any interviews or anything like that, any sit downs. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to say like he says specific things that make you uncomfortable. He says like little things that might make you uncomfortable, but just his vibe is so weird when you watch anything with him.
Yep.
So, in 1999, Garth Brooks and his movie decided they were going to make a movie called The Lamb. And this movie was The Lamb, like B, Lamb with a B.
Okay, Lamba. Gotcha.
So Garth Brooks was going to play this guy named Chris Gaines, and it was supposed to be like, I guess like a... So it's not a mockumentary because a mockumentary is supposed to be funny, but it was like a fake documentary, but it was supposed to be serious. It was supposed to be like a fake biopic, and literally it was supposed to be a fake documentary. So, and Garth Brooks had started slowly releasing these songs as Chris Gaines, and all of these songs were going to be the soundtrack to the movie. So, the plot to the movie is one of the most interesting plots I've ever had. In the movie, the guy, Chris Gaines, was born in Australia in 1967, and he moves to the U.S. when he's 5. Something that I find funny about this is that the fact that he was born into Australia never comes into play again. It's, like, not a plot point at all.
Okay.
It's just one of those things where he's like, oh, dude, would it be cool if he was from Australia? And I'm sure everyone in the writer's room was like, yeah, sure, dude. I guess we could do that.
I could see him, like, only using it once. It's hilarious that he didn't use it at all, but I could see, like, there's no correlation, no connection to Australia. And at the end, if he solves the case or whatever, the resolution, he just goes, and that's how we do it down under. And then everyone's kind of confused, like, what the hell are you talking about?
Those are just like the weird things he talks in. I mean, I could definitely see that. I like him being like, I was watching Crocodile Hunter the other day in the hotel. That guy seemed pretty cool. And like, that's, they're like, yeah. And he's just like, yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. I think we should make him from Australia. And they're like, oh, do we want it like
the culture? I just want people to think that I'm from there.
Yeah. Do we want to tie Australian culture into the movie at all? I really didn't get that far into the episode. I only watched for about 8 minutes.
I think what I have going on personally is more than enough. But
yeah.
What if I was from a different place?
We could just put that little wrinkle in there. So that's right off the bat something. So he goes to high school in the movie in, I think, California, and he leaves to start a rock band with his friend Tommy. And the band is called Crush. And they were about to, like, make it big and go on a tour. They were, like, on tour and making it big. And Tommy is a licensed pilot. So Tommy goes and flies, and he accidentally dies in a plane crash. Which I think is, there's like a history of like rock stars dying in a plane crash, like Dimebag Darrell, Buddy Holly, Lisa Left Eye Lopez. And I mean, like Kobe died in a helicopter crash, obviously, and whatnot. So I guess that's like a motif that they wanted to throw in. But it's so funny because it makes the character so unsympathetic that he was the pilot of the plane that died.
Yeah, I'm. How quickly into this did it happen? Into the movie?
I This is like all first act. This is okay. Right off the bat. He's coming from Australia. He's meeting this kid, and this guy, Tom, he's getting in a plane crash.
All righty. Okay. We're up to speed.
So, apparently, the thing is, Chris Gaines takes it really hard, and in this movie, he does exceptionally well. And he makes an album that sells like 12 million copies or something, which is really funny because that's just like an egregious amount of record sales. Like, I don't know of any of Garth Brooks' actual like records. For people who don't know, Garth Brooks is like not only considered critically one of the best country music stars of all time, but he is also on paper one of the best selling country music stars of all time. And I don't know if any of his albums ever sold 12 million copies. Dude, I could be wrong, but that's an egregious number.
I'll double check that. I think it's funny. And once again, we'd have to watch the whole movie to, I may be speaking out of turn here, but it's just funny that, that Garth just immediately just gained the success, probably, you know, to honor his friend. But the only real like failure, like I want to know what failures Garth had in the movie. Or else he's just like, listen, someone else is dying. That's all I need to be able for Chris Gaines to sell 12 million albums. Like, I want to hear some hardships on him, but knowing Garth Brooks and how weird he is, it would not surprise me if that was it. The only hard thing in the movie was a friend's death that we knew for probably 5 minutes of screen time, and the rest is just Chris Gaines on an exponential path to stardom.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I will say, like, there are other hardships in the movie and whatnot, but it is really funny that, like, the way I read about the plot and whatnot is that, like, his friend dying is a, like, a big point kind of in Act 1. Him taking it hard is, like, a very small footnote. Like, he doesn't show much anguish at all and then just puts out a banger of an album and becomes, like, the hottest sensation in the music industry at the time.
Oh, God. I love it.
So, in the movie, after his album, he runs out of money because he has like this shitty contract with his manager, and some of the hardship is his dad passes away with cancer. And so Chris Gaines, the character, goes into a crazy sex addiction and releases an album called Fornucopia.
What?
I mean, I think like, I really just like to picture Garth in the studio would be like, yeah, this guy's getting so much tail. And like, you know, it'd be a sick name for an album. Fornucopia.
Well, it's just like, okay, the one like direct Garth hardship is I fuck too much.
That is true.
like we dipped in the death well twice, friend and dad. He's like, you know what this is going to make me want to do? Have so much sex because no just one can turn
have the most sex. This actually reminds me. Do you remember? So for those who don't know, Rob and I were involved in this philanthropy in college, and literally, I'm not even going to say the name because I think we're doing them a disservice if we say the name of it.
No, like, you're probably right.
Yeah, but part of it was there was this event, and like music acts would come. And there was this one kid from one of the local fraternity chapters who, like, was, I guess, writing country songs and whatnot. And he played this song. And the song, it was, like, supposed to be a love song or whatever. And the lyrics were, he was like, I'd give up everything for what I had before. Or I'd give up all this rock and roll for what I had before when the only thing rocking was my headboard. Do you remember that?
Jesus, no, I don't. There's kids at that event.
I know. I remember me and you looking at each other and being like, this song's so funny. It's like supposed to be a song about like, damn, I like miss this girl and whatnot. But instead, it just really sounded like he's like, I miss just, you know, I'm making money, making music now, but before I was just busting. I was just...
just busting.
I was just kill after kill after kill. And I think I remember looking over you at the time and me being like, what is this? Like, I remember it was a decent song, but it was one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard.
That's, I'm so sad that I don't actually remember that. Like, that's, like, you know, the people who put that together, they couldn't, there's only so much you can do and say when you're probably not paying a college kid to come play at a charity event in the first place. You know, just kind of a tough position to be in. Not appropriate, hilarious, and more like a slap on the wrist. You're not coming back next year.
Yeah, no. And I remember we knew one girl who, like, knew the person performing personally. And I asked her, I was like, I wonder if, like, he realizes that, like, this is what his lyrics are coming across by. And she was like, we kept trying to tell him that, but he just didn't seem to pick up on it. So
I'd like to think it was either,
like, he didn't pick up on it, or he's like, nah, I want to seem sincere and people be like, oh, he's misunderstood. Like, I'm misunderstanding him, but in all reality, he was probably just like, yeah, dude, I'm just busting.
Yeah, I don't think, those lyrics doesn't sound like anything, like they're hiding anything.
No, they're not. But they're literally leaving nothing for the imagination to be desired.
But I digress. We can move back to Chris Gaines.
So, also, I like how they say his dad passed away from cancer. And literally his dad is not mentioned until his dad dies from cancer.
Dude, that's like The Room. The doctor just called, I definitely have cancer. and it's just never addressed again. For those who haven't watched The Room, it's the greatest movie ever, by being the worst movie ever and no plot points. And an old lady she probably has like, what, 10 minutes of screen time, but she's like semi-important to the overall thing. But she just out of nowhere just confirms she has cancer about an hour and 10 into the movie when no one knew that was even a possibility.
Another line is like when he's like, I did not hit her. I did not. He's like, and then he just goes, oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Just an elite movie. Homework. We
could do a whole episode on The Room, honestly. But anyways. So he makes the album Fornucopia because he was just busting way too much. And then Chris Gaines, the character, gets in a car crash that requires him to get plastic surgery. And so this is where Garth Brooks steps in and becomes like, is entering the role as Chris Gaines. So like, in the movie, the beginning of the movie, it's like not Garth Brooks playing him. Yeah, exactly. Garth Brooks is like, so the reason they were doing this, I think it was supposed to be some like viral marketing thing where like once, like in real life, there's a lot of blurred lines here with this. It gets very confusing. But like in real life, it's supposed to be like, oh, here's this like Chris Gaines guy and whatnot, and like this is his real backstory. But they were like telling people it was the real backstory, but in all reality, it was just this shitty movie plot they came up with.
Was he with Trisha during all of this? There's no way Trisha Yearwood would have signed off on this. Trisha Yearwood is his at least now wife and also a country music star. I love Trisha Yearwood, but I just don't see a world in which she goes, yep, this makes sense. But he's also a man of conviction, and I can see him saying, you're stupid, it works, let's ride.
So she is not married to Garth Brooks at the time.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense then.
Let's see if Garth Brooks is married at the time. That's actually a very good question. Garth
Brooks, wow.
He was married to Sandy Mall at the time. And I'm going to jump ahead and say, like, all of this stops in 2001. He also got divorced to her in 2001 after 15 years. So I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say maybe she had enough.
Sandy Mall. I've never seen her.
I think she looks like a pre-famous wife. Not to necessarily knock her, but essentially there is nothing about her on Google other than the fact that she is his ex-wife.
Nice. But it's been Trisha Yearwood ever since. So, I guess, real quick, going back to the plot of the movie. Garth, yes. So Chris Gaines needs plastic surgery. And in Garth's mind, he said, I'm going to step in and be the better looking Chris Gaines.
So yeah, Garth Brooks at this point decided in the plot line that Chris Gaines gets plastic surgery in the car, comes back. And if you look at the pictures, he has these blonde, like blue eyes. He's like really slimmed down from typical Garth Brooks. He has this like dark hair with a wig and whatnot. And I think it's kind of funny because if you look at like the pictures of what Chris Gaines was supposed to look like beforehand and whatnot, it's clear that Garth Brooks wants the new post-plastic surgery Chris Gaines to be the hotter one. And maybe it can be argued that you accomplish that. Maybe you can't. But I think it's really funny that Garth Brooks thinks a car crash where you have to get plastic surgery is somewhere where you come like looking back like better and nice and done up. Like...
Yeah, I feel like that's like a thought that movies had like back in like the 70s or like just, yeah, something to get rid of special effects. Like, let's just bring in someone new. My question to you, since you've seen all three, I'm guessing you've seen the original Chris Gaines, you've seen Garth Brooks as Chris Gaines, and you've seen Garth Brooks. Fuck, marry, kill, go.
I think you got to kill Garth Brooks. I think at this point he's past his prime. You just got to take him out behind the shed and just fair. Do what needed to be done a long That's time fair. Ago. I think you got to marry Garth Brooks Chris Gaines because, you know, he's a troubled soul, but he obviously has some experience with him. He's been through some hard times, and I think he needs to be loved. And then I'm obviously going to have coitus with the younger Chris Gaines at this point. And also, you know, it probably wouldn't have been hard to catch it because we all know he went through a sex addiction and he made Fornicopia. So you know what? Maybe a guy slips in there once or twice. Who's to say? I didn't write this character.
You're on it.
I didn't write this character.
You could have been a part of the great Fornicopia.
Yeah, I could have been part of this canon that they're pushing. So yeah, anyway, this is the canon they're pushing, and now so like Garth enters, and this is like he's going and performing as Garth Brooks as Chris, or he's performing as Chris Gaines, which is just like all the performances you see are just like we were saying, Garth Brooks is an awkward individual, but at least he like puts out bangers. So when he's a musical guest and whatnot, it's obviously pretty good. And these performances, everyone's just kind of like, "What's going on here?" Like we have no context for this yet. It's just Garth Brooks already being weird, being like, "Oh, this is a popular musician I'd like to see," and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm performing under Chris Gaines." And so maybe you're like, okay, maybe he's trying to like do a new music project where the music is more like rock and sad and whatnot, which is, to be fair, what the music was. And then he's like, well, I got in a car crash and I came back and everything. And you're just like, where does it stop? Like, where does this guy stop?
You don't have to do that, Garth. Like, you know, plenty of people just go dip their feet in the water of new genres all the time, and they get the same name. I mean,
yeah,
it's not like Darius Rucker and Hootie had a backstory. You know, if you're gonna change, just freaking change. Don't like. I'm so glad Darius Rucker didn't have a an intro track to whatever album Wagon Wheel was on, letting us know that Hootie died of cancer.
Yeah, exactly. Darius Rucker is a man who he was like, his family was like the first white family in their town, and he overcame adversity, and then his best friend died, but he got like a bunch of pussy, and then, you know, he started singing again, and he's back on track. It's like, no, Darius Rucker just wanted to do country music.
No, it wasn't Darius Rucker that fell into a sex addiction. It would have been Hootie.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Hootie fell into the sex addiction. And then Darius Rucker came. Okay. I'm seeing where you're going now. These Hootie's timelines are getting very confusing. Blowfish
a new name.
Yeah.
Or a new meaning, I should say. Yeah. Okay. Hootie is first Chris Gaines. Darius Rucker is Garth Brooks' Chris Gaines.
Yeah. So imagine, like, I'm just trying to even put it into perspective today of, like, I don't know, like, who's someone, I feel like modern country might, but if, like, I don't know, if Thomas Rhett came out and was just, like, doing some sad music, and then you all of a sudden ask him what's going on, and he's like, my name is Steve Williams. I just got out of rehab. I accidentally ran my girlfriend over with a car back in 05. And they're like, Thomas, what are you talking about? And
he's like,
I'm Steve. Like, what are you talking about? I'm tortured.
So, I'm tortured. You don't get it.
Yeah. You don't understand me.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Like, I've been to a Garth Brooks concert. It was electric. It was awesome. Probably the best concert I've ever been to. Part of me wishes that he didn't have a real opening act. He just opened as himself, but Chris Gaines. But so, like, gave no context to it. Just went backstage, changed, put the cowboy hat on, and sang Colin Baton Rouge.
Oh, yeah. So the thing that's crazy about the Chris Gaines music is the music did really well. He got to the number two album on the Billboard 100, and Garth Brooks only, like, Hot 100 top. I think it got to, like, top five on the Hot 100 songs on Billboard was one of his Chris Gaines songs, which it's like, he's obviously a crazy talented musician. It's like, why do you just gotta be so fucking weird, dude? Like,
people would have liked this without doing all this.
You didn't have to make it this weird. So he goes, he pushes this media out there, he performs on SNL and whatnot, and everyone is just like, dude, what are you doing? And, like, the only reason they tolerate it is because it's good. So eventually a bunch of stuff happens. They do a VH1 Behind the Music of what's supposed to be, like, Chris Gaines' life and whatnot, which I haven't seen, but I need to watch at this point. And then the sad thing is it keeps going on, but this movie, The Lamb, which is supposed to be, like, about Chris Gaines, is never even, like, gonna come out and whatnot. There's some, like, production problems, and essentially it gets scrapped. And what? So for the longest time, people are like, what was this movie about? Like, we know it's about, like, the life of Chris Gaines. I should walk it back a second. So what I told you just now is Chris Gaines' backstory for the movie The Lamb. It's, like, his origin story and whatnot. It's not necessarily what the movie's about. So if you had to guess, what is the movie about?
Geez, I thought I was just walking us all through that. So you're saying that the movie wasn't necessarily following that timeline? Like, that's almost stuff that we should have read up on before going into the movie?
Yes. So not only are they going to release this, not only have they put out all this weird information about this person, Chris Gaines, so the movie that Chris Gaines is in, you have to do your research on the canon before time. At a time where a lot of, like, this information is not readily available on the internet.
Yeah, so if that's the case, that movie would just be all rise. Like, there would be no bad things if, like, now that I know those other things didn't happen on camera, Garth would just be acting as Chris Gaines, just living a rock star life. He would still have the sex problem, but without the death, and he'd just be, "Hey guys, I'm Chris Gaines, and I make music and have sex. That's what I do." For an hour and 30 minutes. That's my prediction.
That would be awesome, but sadly, it's quite the opposite. So the movie wasn't even about Chris Gaines.
What?
Chris Gaines is like a side character in the movie. The movie just follows this girl who's a Chris Gaines super fan. So Chris Gaines dies. And
oh my God.
And this super fan, like, thinks that he was murdered or something. So it's about this girl investigating his death, which I think is, like, it was pretty funny because pre-internet, like, internet sleuths definitely come up with stuff now, like the Gabby Petito stuff and whatnot, and, like, obviously all that, but, like, back then, internet sleuthing was not a thing. If some girl's a super fan of you and just wants to investigate, it's like, that girl's just crazy. I'm sorry. She's just, like,
yeah,
moving out of her hometown and doing ridiculous stuff. But, so, Garth Brooks' role as Chris Gaines was going to be partial, and he was just supposed to be Chris Gaines in the flashbacks of the movie of his life, like, when he was alive.
Alrighty. Where does the lamb come from?
I have no clue. I think, once again, it's Garth Brooks being like, "You guys saw Silence of the Lambs? That was pretty popular movie.
That's
you
what
know,
I was
maybe
thinking.
Maybe we can catch some headwind if, you know, people might think it's like a sequel or something. But also, you got to do homework before you come see this movie, and so you can know about Chris Gaines."
Wow. Yep. That is something. I've always known he was a weird dude. I'm a big fan of whenever Tom Segura breaks down Chris Gaines. I'm sorry, not Chris Gaines, Garth Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
But this is new information. And I absolutely love it.
So, the movie kind of... So, this all starts in 1999. He puts out, like, two albums. I already talked about, like, him putting albums in, like, the canon and whatnot. But Garth Brooks actually puts out two albums. And then I think he puts out a greatest hits album. So, until 2001, that's happening. And Garth Brooks, I guess, is like, "I can't do this anymore." So... In 2000, or essentially, like, the movie's falling through and it's bad. But until 2002, Garth Brooks is, like, still talking about this and, like, still telling people all about it and whatnot when nothing is going to come to fruition. And I think, conveniently, this is also the time when he gets divorced. And essentially, for a while, he just kind of, like, puts it off when people ask about it. They're like, "You know that manic episode you were having for the past 2 years? What was that about?" He's like, "You just trying new things out."
It's not over.
Yeah, it's like, imagine if for like 2 years, like, I am, as we know, if you follow the series canon, a senior analyst. I think we all know that. It's been discussed over and over.
Imagine but you died too.
Imagine if for 2 years I just went and ran and joined the circus and then came back and you guys were like, "What was that all about?" And I'm like, I was giving it a go. I was giving it a run.
But in the series canon for this podcast, you've also died.
I have also died. I also have married Elena Deladon, and I believe... I divorced her, got married into Dan Snyder's family, and then I was running a child labor programming company, which you eventually took the reins of after I died.
Yes. Yes. That's... Sounds right to me. don't even want to get back into all that, but yeah, just wanted to just double check and make sure you were dead at some point
yes,
in the canon.
I was dead in the canon of this podcast. But I do have some good news.
Okay, hit me.
As of 2019, at some point or another, Apparently, Chris Gaines is making a comeback.
No way.
Garth Brooks has been running around. In 2017, he kind of said he was flirting with the idea. In 2015, he said he was going to go ahead and, like, really try and make something happen. And, I'm looking now. In March of 2021, he said he's bringing back his alter ego, Chris Gaines. And, listen, he said the movie can't be made, which is truly tragic. He said he can't drop the weight for it. However, I am 100% going to a Chris Gaines concert if I ever get the opportunity.
Yeah, you have to. You absolutely have to. I will join you. Just to say I've seen both Garth and Chris. So clearly there was no learning experience from this other than the fact that he can't make a movie. He does this. It's weird. Everyone makes fun of him. So, but yet here we are 20 years later and we're back on it.
I mean, let me put it this way. The man can do what he wants because he succeeds at everything except for making a movie. But I think a really funny scenario would be like if one of your friends, like, I mean, like me living up in DC, like I have plenty of friends that don't actually like know anything about country music or whatever, but I also have plenty of friends who do. But anyways, one of my friends gets really into Chris Gaines, not knowing he's Garth Brooks. I take him to a concert, and like all of a sudden he breaks character for one song to play "Friends in Low Places," and my friend is like, "What the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this?
who's this guy? Who's this Garth?"
Melting the faces of the audience.
Who's Garth? I can't deal with Garth.
Yeah, why is his first name cooler than his, like, he's famous as Garth Brooks. It's a different name. Never heard of Garth before. But you're like, you know what? You know what's kind of edgy? Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
Explain.
Like, the Edgelord name is just, like, the much easier name to pronounce. And he's like, he's from Australia. He's a wild man.
Yeah. I feel like Chris Gaines is just some kid who tried to start a fitness influencer.
Yeah, he's the kid from your home.
Thanks for checking in with Chris Gaines. I'm going to do chess this week.
That is one. He sounds like literally not even just a guy who's an influencer. He sounds like a parody and like fitness yes. influencer. Yep. Like the yep. fucking Bro Science Life guys.
Yeah, like Chris Gaines is too on the nose.
Yeah, exactly. It's because I feel like. You are taking the two most generic names of making, like, or two of the most generic things of making a fitness accounts, like a guy named Chris, probably, and then just the word Gaines. Like, Gaines, if we put in Chris Gaines into, like, Instagram right now, there's probably, like, 8 different fitness accounts that'll yes. immediately pop up.
Yep. Half and half. Half are serious, half are making fun of the other half.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's all I have for this week. I think I thought that this was going to be a good one because you know a lot about Garth, and I think it was.
This was perfect. This was a great reintroduction to the podcast, hopefully, for all the listeners who didn't drop us. This was an incredible topic. It's great when you learn something about something you thought you knew all there was to know. Like, I knew Garth Brooks, like, pretty much like the back of my hand, at least, you know, his discography.
I mean, you knew who he was married to, which is more than probably a lot of people.
Because, I mean, dude, I grew up, I lived 45 minutes away from my elementary through high school, and I rode up 316 from Athens, Georgia to Winder, Georgia, 45 minutes there and back listening to Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, which is his wife now. And when I saw both of them at his concert, I mean, I was floating. me and my roommate had Georgia G's on our shirts. And, like, they came over on stage because we were 2 rows up. We were second row.
Jesus.
And he pointed at Ben, my roommate's G, and, like tugged on, like, where the G would have been on his shirt, like, acknowledging the Georgia G. It was fucking sick. quick story of how I got to go to that concert.
Yeah, I was about to say, Garth Brooks tickets are not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, so listen, and you were second row.
So listen to this. And this could be, this is going to be a great way, I hope, to wrap it up for the listeners and the pod. So it is my sophomore year in college, and I'm working for the football team, and a lot of them are Garth Brooks fans. It's almost like a kind of like a running joke that we're all huge Garth Brooks fans. We are, but like we also lean into it too much. Like every time we drink together, we play Garth Brooks. So probably the ringleader of this so-called Garth Brooks fan club says, hey, he's playing in Greenville, South Carolina. So I think 3-hour drive away. Who wants to go? Everyone says yes, except for me. I just didn't want to commit to the money as a sophomore in college. I didn't want to commit to the time. We had work the next day, so it would be like go up Friday, come back Friday night. There was just a lot of reasons I didn't want to. None of them, I guess, were that legit. It was just me being soft at the end of the day. So then all my friends are gearing up the week of for Garth Brooks. I'm starting to get a little jealous. And then one of our other friends, Tyler, his fraternity brother is Trisha, Garth's wife, is Trisha Yearwood's nephew. So he tells Trisha that his fraternity brother and his friends, which is us, are coming. She upgrades our tickets. Trisha Yearwood and her crew upgrade my friend group's Garth Brooks tickets. So now, once again, I don't have a ticket. I am extremely jealous.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's brutal. But then, 2 days before, and this is awful, 2 days before, my buddy Luke, he's okay. Let me just preface this. He's okay. He's been okay.
Anytime you have to start like saying, like, before I say anything, he's okay. Yeah. It's not great.
He's okay. Since then, he's married. He has a kid. He's comfortable. I promise you he's okay. But Luke ended up in the hospital because he had blood clots in his lungs, which is scary as shit. Horrifying. It's terrifying. Like, that's something that if it goes unnoticed, that's could be a death sentence. So that was super scary. But we won't dive into the scary part. we'll dive into the fact that he's like, hey, Rob, guess I can't go. Would you like my ticket? Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I got to take the ticket of the guy with blood clots. We walk into the stadium. We just knew our tickets were upgraded. We just didn't know where. But we show them to a ticket attendant, and she, instead of taking us up the stairs where we were going to initially sit in the upper bowl, she's like, follow me down to the floor. And every single time I thought we were about to stop and go into one of the rows, we just kept going forward.
Oh, my God.
And we end up second row. To Garth Brooks, incredible show. Side note, there was like 7 Clemson moms behind us, and it was just the most beautiful group of mothers I've ever seen in my life.
Rob's just sick. Ready to risk it all for one of these moms at the Garth Brooks concert.
And it really, just to go further into my Garth Brooks knowledge, it was very poetic, because I have this running theory that Garth Brooks has a MILF fetish.
Okay.
I should have started the pod with this.
When we
talked about the material.
I want to hear about this.
I feel terrible this is at the end. But, so 2 of my favorite songs by him are Colin Baton Rouge, and the lyrics go, I spent last night in the arms of a girl in Louisiana, my thoughts are still with her. Such a strange combination between a woman and a child.
Oh, I don't like that.
It's a love song. I think it's a love song. And basically he's like, yeah, I spent last night in the arms of a girl in Louisiana. So yeah, they were definitely together the night before. And then he later says, such a strange combination of a woman and a child. Like, very blatantly saying, woman, not necessarily a man yet. So that's one. And then two is the song That Summer. And that one starts, I went to work with her that summer. Well, I went to work for her that summer. A teenage kid just far from home. She was a lonely widow. She was a lonely widowed woman, hell bent to make it on her own. And then, the chorus is like she had the need to feel the passion.
Oh my god! The sky,
basically, like, hey, I went to go like any like a porn scenario. Like, oh, I went to go. I had sex with the woman I'm working for. Like real pool boy shit, but like more of a ranch hand that is having sex with the widow. So yeah, that's my theory. I think it's pretty solid because he literally sings about it. And I feel like Garth was watching over me just by putting some beautiful mothers behind me.
Yeah, that was Garth. Garth being your guardian angel.
No, it wasn't Garth being my guardian angel. It was Chris Gaines.
Oh, yes, yes. The spirit of Chris Gaines, who we know is now deceased.
There we go. We wrapped it up. It came full circle.
There we go.
I'm glad we got to get into that.
Beautiful. So, what's your takeaway from this one? Like you said, it's just Garth Brooks can't make a movie.
I know it wasn't part of the subject material, but Garth Brooks has a MILF fetish. I think my biggest takeaway is I need to do some digging on some more artists. And see what kind of weird shit they get into in terms of alter egos and new music. It might make me think less of them, but hell, if it's this entertaining, it's worth it. What is yours?
I was going to say, if you're really good at something, you don't have to be weird about it. He probably could have just made a normal rock album and people would have liked it. But I do have some homework for you.
Hit me. Let's go. I've been missing some homework. Never thought I'd say that.
So, I'm sure your father is a big Garth Brooks fan. I want to hear what he has to say about Chris Gaines.
Okay.
Yeah, just ask your dad about Chris Gaines. I want to see if he knows about it or if he's like, or if somehow he missed the whole boat.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call him sometime this week. And I'm just going to put my phone on speaker next to the microphone. And if the audio picks up well enough, we're just going to share it on the next pod.
Sounds good. That works for me. Alrighty. Well, thank you, everyone. We're happy to be back. The triumphant return. We're gonna be more consistent with these. I will say, based on when we're recording now, Christmas is next week. So probably take a week off, but... The New Year's coming. We got some fresh content for you, and see you guys later.
Peace.